On January 7th, George Gershwin glanced at the concert date he had circled on his calendar, February 12th, and began to turn out page after page of music. And almost as fast as he composed it, Ferdy Grafey wrote the parts for the various instruments to play. On the day of rehearsal, the two men handed out the pages to the members of Paul Whiteman's orchestra. As always, the conductor's copy showed the notes to be played by all the different instruments. Scanning the pages, Paul said, "There's something missing, George. There are some blank pages here." "Those are the pages for the piano solos," George said. "I didn't have time to write them down, so I'll have to play them myself at the concert. Only I'm not sure yet what they'll be. So I'll just look up at you and nod whenever it's time for you to bring the orchestra back in." Sure enough, Paul Whiteman's score contained the phrase, "Wait for nod." Paul began to wonder if this jazz composition had been such a good idea after all. They proceeded with a rehearsal. The opening notes were written for clarinet, and as a joke, Paul Whiteman's clarinet soloist, Ross Gorman, slid the first note up as he played it. To his surprise, George grinned and exclaimed, "That's great! Leave it in!" So they rehearsed the new music with that sliding clarinet note at the beginning, and, at various points, with the orchestra anxiously waiting for George Gershwin to nod at them from his place at the piano. On the afternoon of the concert, every seat in the hall was occupied. The audience contained a rare mix of famous classical composers in tuxedos, fans of Broadway songs in dresses or suits and ties, and informally dressed jazz and blues musicians. And as they were taking their places, the ventilation system broke down. Still, the curious audience stayed, though they grew uncomfortable and increasingly restless as piece after piece of music premiered. Finally, out walked George Gershwin. The listeners became alert once more and wondered if their long wait would turn out to have been worthwhile. For George Gershwin and Paul Whiteman, the pressure was enormous. They knew that this was a tough, sophisticated New York audience that had sat already through a long program in a hall without ventilation. George shook hands with Paul and took a seat at the piano, and the music began. And from that first long, bending note of the clarinet, it was magic. George had mixed elements of jazz, blues, and classical composition into something brand new, and yet he seemed to be drawing on the best of everything that had come before. The adoring audience never knew that George was improvising parts of his piano solos, or that the orchestra didn't know when they would come in again. Everything simply worked. When the last note faded in the air, the listeners leaped to their feet and roared their delight. The ovation went on and on and on. George stood up, bowed, walked over to shake Paul Whiteman's hand, and over the sound of applause told him, "I'll get you the piano part next week." The composition that George Gershwin had premiered that day was called Rhapsody in Blue.